Ladies and gentlemen, this is Unmasked, the Chronicles of Romoran and Sandata.
Finally here.
Yeah, we're finally here. I've been planning this for a while now. My name is Romoran, by the way. You might have heard of me from the Wrestling Podcast, PWR, MWF, a whole bunch of other places in the local wrestling scene. And, well, if you don't know, I'm better known as the pro wrestler Sandata. So this is a podcast that I wanted to do. It's about me, my career, you know, how I'm doing right now, and the story of my entire pro wrestling journey. Joining me is not my usual co-host on the Wrestling Podcast. It's not Stan, Chino, or the ASHs, if you came from there. It is the one and only, ABL Anselmo. ABL, introduce yourself to the people.
Okay, so hi, my name is ABL, and I'm the lead host for Wrestling After Work. Done. No. We're still doing something, but you know, I think I took a step back as producer this time.
Okay.
You know, But I really wanted, I think the ending of that was I really wanted to give it to them as a platform.
Who is them? Your co-host?
My co-host, Angelo, Dion, Carlos, shout out to you guys. But yeah, that I really wanted to give it to them at the end of it. So, and since this is the new venture, hey.
Yeah,
I'm here.
It is a new venture. Well, let me introduce the podcast a little more. So, again, for those who have followed the local wrestling scene for quite a while now, I am the masked wrestler Sandata. I've been doing this since 2015. I debuted in 2015, and I started in 2014, and that is 5 years of active competition. But, you know, my entire participation in the pro wrestling industry here in the Philippines is coming close to, well, it just passed, I don't know, 8 years.
8 years, yeah.
So it's been a while. I guess I can be counted as a veteran, even though that feels weird to say, because, you know, the wrestlers you know.
Relatively. Right now, yeah, so, you are.
Yeah,
the
in
veteran.
The Philippines, yes. I'm a veteran. But I don't know. I'm not as good as like Jake DeLeon or Ken Warren. So what is this podcast all about? So I wanted to tell my story. I had a lot of thoughts about myself over the pandemic, and especially over the past year in which the Philippine Pro Wrestling returned and MWF returned, and syempre eventually FPW came to the scene. I had a lot of thoughts, and I had a lot of self introspection, because as we'll talk about in a bit, a lot of people have asked when Sandata or Romeo is coming back.
Especially you.
If I had 1,000 pesos for every time somebody asked me, I would be able to pay my bills every month. So side hustle gonna happen.
OnlyFans, man. That's your OnlyFans style.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you first, ABL. Yeah. When did you start watching local wrestling, and when did you first see me?
I first started watching local wrestling. I first saw you. It was, we were talking about this a while ago, you know, off camera. Yeah. But we were, I think it was 2017, and it was one of the Power Max shows in PWR. And yeah, you're like one of the guys that I was, because I used to be a big fan of Rey Mysterio, like all the Lucha guys, all the Cruiserweight guys. So I was like, this guy's like, and you had that banger theme song, and I was like, yo, this is my guy. So I was.
Anong year to? What theme song did I have? The solo theme song?
Yeah, the solo theme song.
Not the MSG theme song.
No.
Oh, yeah.
I love the solo theme song, I swear to God. Like, sometimes I would go to, well, back then, I haven't listened to it in quite a while, but I would.
It's on YouTube and Spotify.
Better listen to it. I legit go to work in that theme song. I like that.
Wait, before you knew me?
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Of course.
I'm really proud of that theme song, kasi.
Yeah. And then that, like, full Filipino vibe, so I loved it. So I saw you in PWR. I forgot which event, but it was a 2017 show on Power Mac.
Yes.
One of those
pretty
shows.
Pretty much the first year na nag-Power Mac kami.
Yeah. So that was the first, and then I started having a hard time, you know, going through, like, following PWR, and then I started watching MWF. Because somehow it was kind of easier to digest because of the videos that they were making on social media.
Okay.
And then, did I know? I don't think I knew, but...
Well, you didn't know me. No.
I meant the... You were the surprise opponent.
Oh, yeah.
For MWF.
Cal Season.
For Cal Season. Great match, by the way. But yeah, when I don't think I knew. Because when I first saw you coming down the ramp, I was like, yo, did he just sign? Did he just move?
Did I just move?
Did he like switch brands? I was like, I was shocked when I first saw it. So that was my first time seeing you. And I think a huge step away from what you were back in PWR. Because I think it was because, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was because you had to adjust your style to Kyle.
No. You hadn't watched in a while, but at the time. Well, we'll talk about this in the future episode.
Yes, of course.
This is part of what I'll be talking about in this episode.
Yeah.
I changed my style up, and at that time, I believe I already turned heel in PWR.
But did you unmask or not?
No,
yet?
I did not.
Not yet.
I never unmasked while active in PWR. Pero I turned heel. Already turned heel at that time.
Okay.
Tapos MWF brought me in as a face, and
for one night, which is weird.
Yeah,
because I was quietly following you on social media now, so I was like, He's heel. So what's the dynamic here?
Yeah. So when that happened, to JDL, who was in charge of creative sa PWR at the time.
Yeah.
He kind of, I think he kind of got pissed because I didn't tell anyone in PWR I was booked in MWF
time.
Yeah, so
I didn't clear
the direction, creative direction, that I was going to be facing Kyle Season. And
do you think you would have been okay with it if you were a heel and then you were facing a face?
What do you mean?
So MWF, like if you were facing a different wrestler instead of Kyle Season, a face wrestler, would that not have made JDL less pissed? Maybe?
I think the point that he got pissed about was that, well, probably, I guess.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay.
Anyway, Sigo.
Let's move that.
We are super digressing. We moved to 2018 when this podcast is really about the entire story from 2014 onwards. So, ABL here is going to be my Conrad Thompson or my Matt Coon, whichever you prefer on the wrestling podcast network, the Conrad verse.
Yeah, the Conrad verse. I like to refer to myself as a smart Mark Sterling.
Okay, smart Mark Sterling.
Okay, but then again, let's move ahead to, since we're, you said a while ago that we want to talk about, like, this is a retrospection of like your career. Let's go back to like, how are you now? Like, where are you right now?
Okay, yeah. So I intended for this pilot episode to talk about where I am right now.
Yeah.
And
this is like the 1,000 pesos that you're getting from me, right?
Okay. No, I scripted it for today. All right. This episode is tawag dun, catch up, if you will, about my in-ring career. Because, as I mentioned earlier, people kept asking me when I would come back to the ring. And to that, my answer is not as simple as it seems. Like, I had a lot of time to think about it. Tapos, the answer is not a straight yes or no. So, two things. First is, yes, I really do want to come back. There is an itch.
We're waiting for that answer.
I wanted to come back, but there are a lot of reservations, which I will get to in a minute. The reasons why I wanted to come back were a lot. So, first, before the pandemic struck, I was in the process. Well, at that time, I was already well entrenched as a heel. That was, I changed my in-ring style up. You didn't get to watch this, but I guess you got a taste of it noong Noche Buena 2018.
Yeah, more mat based.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Low to the ground. Yeah, less, yeah. Less
for those who caught up with me early in my career, sure, I was doing lucha stuff. I tried to do lucha stuff,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
I tried to do it the best I could, but I was just not well. For one, mahirap lucha training dito. The most lucha person who is Koto Hiro only came every few years or every other year, I think.
Ow.
Tapos, he didn't really get to teach much. Not because of his fault. It's just really the way it was. So I had changed my style as a heel. I wanted to do a little more brawling and striking, a little more slow. I wanted to slow down. I wanted people to like the person I was facing at the time, you know, in a given match. So I wanted to give them the spotlight. And over the pandemic then, I was still preparing to come back, actually. I was, you know, figuring out what I wanted to do. I wanted to... I wanted to focus. I wanted to try a little more Puro Kings Road stuff.
Was MWF like part of the like your future plans at that time, or it was strictly PWR?
Well, there were two stages.
Pre-pandemic.
No, not MWF. Okay. I will admit that we sa PWR had soured on MWF because they brought in classical Brian Leo, which we'll get to in, I guess, a future episode.
Yes, no, that's a future episode for sure.
Disclaimer, I don't intend for this series, this podcast, to be tell-all this shoot.
Your Golden Shovel podcast.
No. I don't want it to be that way. It's not to dig on my opponent, on the people I don't like, the ops, intentionally. Sometimes I will name drop, maybe. Sometimes I'll tell some stories better.
Of course.
It's not, you know, it's just me trying to speak my truth.
I think. The way you saw it. You mean.
Okay. Yeah, so I wanted to change up my style. I also wanted to unmask. That was what we were gonna do actually on the show that was canceled because of the pandemic. Path of Gold 2020.
Yeah.
So I had tired of my. I wanted to do something different. I wanted to be someone different. I didn't want to be Sandata anymore, which. Will approach soon, eventually. And one thing I also look now, I look the best I've ever looked, I think. You see this on social media.
Yeah, of course. Right? I enjoy the thirst. Yeah. Continue, my friend. Go.
You come out already.
Oh, hey.
Especially in the pandemic, kasi I gained weight because we weren't doing much. We were stuck at home, right? We were sedentary.
Yeah.
And I gained weight. I gained fat. Tapos noong 2021, I started losing weight. And then I started dieting. When we were in La Union together last year, no Holy Week.
No, we were together.
I was in the middle of a cut, and I got a little small, like.
Now that you said it, I noticed it.
Yeah, diba.
Yeah, I mean, compared to now.
Yes, compared
bro.
To now. I posted a before and after pics on Instagram at chang.daddy for those who haven't followed yet.
Plug. Mm. Okay.
Mm. So, yun, I wanted to show off the gains, right? So, sayang naman. Fabs has kept bugging me to come back because I look good. If I say so myself. Yeah. I'll tell you. He asked me, or binibiro niya ako nung Sunday, nung Republica.
Oh, so we're shooting this like a week before Republica.
This is Saturday, May 6th,
day
after Cinco de Mayo. And you know me as a sneakerhead, right?
Yeah, of course I do.
And
you
I
always
started,
talk about it.
Yeah, I started collecting those sneakers because I wanted to wear them to the ring. And you know this.
Of course.
I talked to you about this. I talked to you about what sneakers would look good in the ring. I had been wearing sneakers for years.
You think it would have been more expensive if you tried to pattern your attires?
Yes, syempre,
of course. Syempre, okay, okay. So there
so
we go.
So my idea was to get sneakers that would match yung whatever tights I already had, diba? So that was an So yeah, it's pretty much a lot of it was superficial, I think, you know. The reason why I wanted to come back. So
but yeah, so since you've discussed about like the reasons why you want to come back, how about the reasons where you don't want
to
come back?
Yes, mas marami to, to be honest with you. So many.
This is very like touching to your heart. Yep. Let's go.
First is there's a lot of mental lifting, heavy lifting in pro wrestling, and it's something that I wish somebody would have told me like when I started, but you know, I had to find out the hard way. First is I have a lot of anxiety. I've had it since I was a kid. A lot of things stress me out and make me nervous. Tapos a lot of my pre-match, you know, hindi naman ritual pero whatever it is I'm suffering through is anxiety. So I would be nervous pacing before I come on. Sometimes I would have LBM, to be honest
with
you.
No, that's true, that's true.
Yep. You know what it is. Athletes know what it is, right? They had a scene in Creed.
And performers,
where,
bro.
Yeah, like, performers, yeah.
When you do, like, before going on stage, I've hosted a couple of events, and, you know, you get, like, shaky before it, so I understand.
Yeah, I don't miss that feeling of anxiety, per se. Like, talagang I'm so happy whatever the commentary I'm doing now, because I just get to sit there and I'm there and nobody gets to hear us until the final product, diba?
Yeah, of course. When you watch the Gank episodes.
Yeah, the Gank episodes. Of course. Hey, manilawrestling.com.
Of course.
Tapos, it's just really something I don't miss. Stan was talking to me about it because he came back nung Republica last Sunday and he was also kind of a nervous wreck.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
It's just a spoiler. It's on social media, man. Tapos, I was, I think you saw this. I was scripted to charge to the ring noong kasaysayan noong March.
Oh, yeah, we saw this.
Yeah. And even though I didn't have like a major part, I had anxiety. I was kind of nervous about my cue, not missing my cue. I'm always afraid of messing up kasi. So, I don't want to be the reason why a segment or a match comes off bad because I messed up. Jeffrey, you know this. Nobody wants to mess up, right? Mm-hmm. Even though I know how to play around a botch, something I learned over the years of wrestling, you don't want to mess up because, for one, I have ADHD, and part of ADHD, officially diagnosed. I didn't self-diagnose myself.
Of course. No one likes that.
Yeah. So part of ADHD is rejection sensitivity disorder. Oh, dysphoria. So that's the intense feelings of, you know, feeling bad. So when you get rejected or ridiculed or criticized, so a lot of it is that. And some people are okay with it, I think. And eventually I become okay with it. But the initial feeling is really, really bad. And, you know, it really just messes with your head, man. So there's a lot of that. There's a lot of anxiety, and I'm so much at peace when I don't have to wait to come out through the curtain.
Because you're doing the commentary thing. Yeah. Before you continue, when you said you were scripted to charge, I was waiting for you to throw the first punch, and I was like, I was waiting. I was watching, and I was like,
all of this. This is my personal opinion, right? All of the things that they are scripting over there in MWF. It's eventually like, I feel it's slowly pressuring me subtly to make my return. But
I was waiting, like when you first charged the ring and then you started pushing, and I was like,
Jeffrey, acting muna tayo.
I was waiting for like Jake to like punch you or something, and then after punching you, I was waiting for you. Come on, do it, and then okay,
yeah.
So you were serious about not coming back to the ring, huh? Okay, so yes, continue about like your fears, you know, your anxieties.
Yeah, there's also a big fear of not being as good as I thought I was. This was especially after the pandemic because one, the boys and girls over at MWF, they are trained so much better.
Like, yeah, I've seen
them. Yeah, diba? The baseline of how they are trained right now, miles, miles better than I think what we were doing in PWR. And I was a coach then. It's a PWR bootcamp. And I thought, this new generation has it a lot better. And also, I think the previous... I think Fabio will admit this, but they're even better than the previous generation of MWF guys. So that is huge. And I feel like... di ako makasabay. And I feel like I would get exposed and then the RSD would kick in even more. And was just going to make me feel bad.
You're just going to put yourself down a little bit more?
Yeah. Tapos, I had COVID twice officially. And as I think you know, you're an athlete, you're a basketball player. You know that the effects, they do a thing to your cardiovascular endurance, right?
I just had COVID last week.
So, did you try playing already?
Yeah, dude.
How much are you on cardio?
Man, I'm done. I realize it. Like I
what
was
mean
thinking
done?
About.
As no, in, no, you're
I retired? No, not retired, but like, especially since after the pandemic, I was thinking of like really like not hanging up the boots or something, but you know, like not sticking competitively, you know. In that way, like do leagues and whatnot, participate in leagues. But you know, after COVID, bro, I wasn't the same person that I was before.
I did. I don't mean the movement studio.
Yes.
Yeah, I did a trial class like last week.
You did?
Yeah. Because Saturday's Top was offering free class.
Okay.
So my girlfriend and I did that. Tapos, my lungs were burning. I mean, nakatapos ako, but my lungs were burning and I had to pace myself. Also because I hadn't really cardiovascularly trained in a long time. But, you know, I feel like it was going to take a while to get back to whatever condition I had before.
Like whatever wrestling, cardio-wrestling condition.
Yes, precisely. And I don't know if I'm mentally ready to build myself back up there. That was the second point, the reason of, you know, the second point to the fear of not being as good as I think I am. Back then, I was quietly hated on backstage because some people didn't like how I wrestled until I turned heel. Like, they didn't think I was doing a good job as a luchador babyface.
This was in PWR?
Yeah. Yeah, wow. Not gonna name names here.
Of course.
If the shoe fits, just wear it, I guess. But there were those people who were silently against me, and you know, medyo plastic to my face, and that kind of got to me. Even though I watched back some of the stuff I did, like I've been posting nostalgia clips. And I didn't think I was as bad as they thought I was. You know, but still. That kind of traumatized me. And even though the guys over at MWF are nothing but nice, you don't know what people are capable of, I think. And that's
and you
the
don't
thing.
Know what they're thinking.
Yeah, you don't know what they're thinking. You don't. That's just the thing. I'm not saying they are. MWF guys are really, really nice. But, you know, I had experienced really, really nice before. Tapos yung pala... it was not what I thought it was. You know?
It wasn't sincere.
Yeah, so that kind of gets to you. And I don't know. It's trust issues for me. I'm not saying I could never trust them. It's just that...
Trust issues, my friend. Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to take some time to find my peace of mind, if ever. And then there was also the pressure to look good physically. You know this, as a wrestler, people... Your mga Filipino fans, they always bash us because they don't think we are as good looking as major league wrestlers, like actual full-time day job pro wrestlers, professionals. And I was able to achieve that a little bit, but it's hard to look good talaga when you're not a full-time professional athlete. Mm-hmm. I think you are fully aware of this as well.
Of course. Yeah, especially if you have like body dysmorphia.
Yes, yes. Body dysmorphia.
I think you have it.
Yes,
so.
I have always had it. I'm glad that you mentioned that because I didn't put it in my notes.
No, of course. We have...
Wrestlers have a lot of body dysmorphia. Kasi the benchmark for what a pro wrestler should look like is whatever...
you see on TV.
Whatever you see on TV. 90s WWF, Hulk Hogan, Randy Savage, the Greek gods of the day. Diba? Even if you had smaller guys like Shawn Michaels, Bret Hart. Even Bret Hart has admitted to taking steroids. It's in his book.
But this, I mean, I don't understand how people, you know. Yes, they are smaller people, but they're, of course, you have different, like, lifestyles. So why are the Filipino fans? Some of the Filipino fans.
Eh, kasi WWE lang ang alam nila.
Yeah, exactly.
And you got the John Cena's, the Batista's, the
of course.
So there's that. Because I had dysmorphia, the pressure to look good in photos and videos can get to you. Even though I thought I looked more like a wrestler in the latter part of my career.
Right now you do.
Yeah, thanks.
I mean, physically,
yeah.
You do.
Thank you. So, yeah. That was a lot of the things I had in my head. And some people will listen to this, I guess, and call me soft. But, man, I was trying to be strong for 5 years, dude. I had broken down sometimes. We'll get to that eventually when we get...
I don't think... Maybe, of course, we have fickle people, fickle fans that would do that. But I think this is like your... This moment that you're having right now, I think this is a moment of strength. Mm. You know, at least you have the courage to show up and say your story, say what you feel. So that's nothing to be ashamed of.
Thank you.
You know, of course, we have to
throw
out the other bashers, you know.
May mga old school mentality pa rin na, okay, be strong, you're a man, right? You can't be soft. But, you know, I feel like athletes should be vulnerable. You've seen this in NBA players now.
Of course,
Jimmy Butler, right? I think Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
Those guys are not afraid to be open and vulnerable and soft. Sometimes you got to be soft, man. I'd been so strong.
For how many years?
To the point where I had burned out, man. I'd burned out before the pandemic hit. And even though we were PWR Tag Team Champions, me and Main Max, I was burned out.
That's why you have that sweet ass relationship with me, man. So it's like you always share his stuff on social media.
Oh, diba? Yeah,
I was like, oh man, this tag team champions.
Yeah, I feel sometimes I also feel concerned for Max. He goes through a lot sometimes, but I think he's in a happier place now, which I'm really happy for him.
It looks great too.
Yeah, he does look great. Really great. Really
since
great.
I first saw you like tag with him and everything, he looks way bigger back then. Right now, he looked cut.
I'm so proud of my friends, the people I came over with. They had really put in effort in transforming. Ken, nung pandemic, he really put in the effort to look ripped.
Oh, bro.
Chris Panzer always looked the best out of all of us. You know,
but I think it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
I think he does TV too.
Yeah, like, he does TV, but you know, he did TV when he was lanky. He was a small boy.
Oh, okay.
We were both small boys. And then he grew. He really put in the work. Kasi siya, he has a lot more free time on his hands.
Yeah.
Like, so he was able, he has more resources. So he was able to really figure out how to look great. And he still looks great now, even though he's not as jacked or not as ripped as he once was. Main Max Sempre looks really, really good.
JDL. Oh, my God.
Really, did a good job of following his trainer, our friend BJ Tugade. I think he should be like the trainer to the wrestlers in the Philippines. He really knows his stuff. Even I'm not sure if he's a professional coach, you know, but really, really good. Super P also got buff over the pandemic. El Cateponero really looks good now. So proud of those guys, all of us actually, for putting in the work because I feel like even though may bashers and all that, even though people are decent wrestlers, they're not really taking the time. Not in MWF though. a lot of people that look good. It's just that sometimes it's not a priority for people for one reason or another.
Yeah.
Syempre mahirap, like I said, mahirap mag-devote ng time and resources to really just transforming your body because of how much, you know, how many more things we're doing outside of wrestling, our day jobs, our daily lives. We're not full-time professional athletes. Sorry, I was digressing.
No, I was digressing. Continue. Yeah. So the pandemic, you know, forced you guys to stop, right?
Mm.
So what were the emotions like? What were you feeling inside and what was happening outside, you know, like your surroundings?
Honestly, man, when the pandemic forced us to stop, I felt so relieved and refreshed. Talaga.
Yes,
we're not wrestling for a while. Tigil for one month.
And you thought it was 2 weeks.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be one month, two weeks.
Oh my God, 2 years.
It was just so nice because for once, I didn't have to show up every Sunday, whether it was training or a show.
Sunday,
I could just rest. We could just rest from work or, you know, we're working from home. And, yon, it was so nice, even though people were dying. Yeah, I mean, yeah, at this point, yes, people died. It's really bad. The pandemic was really bad. Pero it really just felt good personally at the very beginning. Very beginning lang, because we didn't know how bad it was going to be.
Yeah, we all thought it was 2 weeks.
Yeah. So actually before that, in 2019 or 2018, I had already told management that I wanted to step back and take a break from active performing.
But would you like still come back? Like,
yes,
walk around.
It wasn't going to be retirement. I just wanted to take a break because I was burned out.
Okay.
And I was just talked into staying by Red Oliero, who was in charge of creative at the time.
At that time, yes.
Yeah, because MSG was getting over. We were doing so well with the reactions. Stan was a big part of those reactions. Panzer, siempre, kind of carried us with his star power. And because of that, I was promised that there was going to be a push. And then eventually we would be next in line for the tag championship. So yeah, it's okay.
Small question though, since you're talking about push, and you were talking about tag team championships. Mm. Were you thinking? I mean, just a yes or no question. Maybe you were thinking of going more into singles.
No,
not at all.
No. There is a desire. I was so comfortable as a tag team member at the time because this is scripted. This is my notes for later, but I'll mention it now. I'm way more comfortable as a tag team, even though I had spent years as a singles competitor because it's you and someone else out there, and then two other guys out there at least,
mm-hmm.
and whatever happens, it's not just on you. So that made me comfortable.
I debuted
as a tag team, as part of a tag team.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, if I didn't, I would have been a major, major wreck.
Emotionally?
Emotionally, maybe. So going back, at the time, because I spent all my Sundays training, or most of my Sundays as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And not just that, I would be there all day. I would train. I would help train, rather, the boot campers, yung mga rookies namin nag-a-apply. Tapos, in the afternoon, that was main roster training where we learned intermediate to advanced techniques and polished our craft as legit pro wrestlers. And because of that, I only had one day to rest during the weekend. So, and sometimes you don't get to rest because sometimes you go out on Saturdays, right?
Yeah.
And even though when I first started training, I liked it at first, but that was the time because I wasn't obligated to be there every week, even though you should be there every week. I feel like if you are if you're serious about wrestling, you got to train every Sunday as much as possible. Because that was the only time we had to train, and that was the only day that yung Fit Plus, the gym in Bikutan, would allow us to use the ring for wrestling. Kasi wala masyadong tao.
Yeah.
So, I felt like a lot of other people weren't taking that seriously. But I also get it because it's Sunday. You want to rest. You want to spend time with your loved ones, your families. And it's just a tough ask. But, you know, sacrifice. You got to do it for the dream. For the
passion. For the dream.
For the dream. You know this. But it does burn you out, you know, because you don't get enough time to rest. And then now, as an athlete, you're also scared of getting injured. That's another mental thing.
Yeah.
If I ever get majorly injured, the worst I've gotten was like a sprained foot. I jumped off the top rope.
Oh, so this happened in the ring.
Yeah, in the ring. Outside the ring, actually.
Was in the training?
It was during a show. During a show. I jumped off the top rope and landed on my feet, and I sprained my leg because I was wearing boxing shoes at the time.
So that's where you were coming from. Okay.
Yes. That's why wrestlers should wear basketball shoes.
Because this is hot take number one.
Yes. We jump around so much, diba? So because of that, because of the always there risk of injury, I'm also getting old. I'm afraid to get back in the ring and risk getting injured. I don't have the resources, the money to treat myself. You know?
And you're not like in MWF or wherever you were hired, you don't have like...
Of course not.
Health insurance.
I have insurance for my day job.
Yeah, from your day job.
But if I ever need surgery, diba, I don't know. I don't know if I could hack that. I don't know if my insurance would cover it. Yung compromise lang is that I wasn't a high-risk type of wrestler. So if you thought I was boring or not as exciting as a luchador, it was because of that. I'm not as athletic, and two, I didn't want to do like dives to the outside. And
you were doing that in the first few years. You were doing most of the lucha stuff as a face, right? In PWR.
Yeah. Tapos, another reason why it's tough to come back is because my professional life outside of wrestling is also picking up. I'm busier. I'm more tired. I want to rest more during the weekends and after work. It gets to the point where wrestling becomes a hobby now than a profession, because my actual profession, a writer for a PR agency, it makes more money.
Yeah.
That's what puts food on the table. But that's what pays the bills.
And your health insurance too.
yeah, and my health insurance. So it's tough to, if you're not a full-time pro wrestler, a professional athlete, which will never be here in this lifetime, sadly.
Yeah.
So
for the future, not for us.
Yeah, I finally understood why yung mga dati kong kasabayan, they stop, they go on to do more quote unquote adult things, because
adult things. No, oh my god.
Adulting things.
Yeah, adult things. No, not that. I was laughing at the concept na wrestling is a child thing, not adult things. Oh, come on, bro. You're exposing me.
And you know what it is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's tough. It's tough when you're getting older, when you have to provide, when you're thinking about settling down. It's not as easy as it seems when you're not young and free, right?
So. And I think someone brought it up to me, but I think like a month ago or 2 months ago, like, if you get injured now or something happens major to you and you start to have kids, of course you want to like play with your kids. What if you can't, right?
Yeah,
like,
diba? Ooh. Yun yung mga problema ng mga wrestlers yan. Diba?
Yeah.
Like I want to play with my kids, right? I want to be able to play with my kids. I want to stay home. I want to be there. Not like...
added pressure, right?
Not like wrestlers of yesteryear na always had to be on the road.
For
man.
The business. For the love.
Tapos, commentary is really fun, man.
Please talk about that.
Yeah. I really enjoy being on commentary.
Being the Excalibur.
I didn't even set out to do this. MWF asked, first they asked me if I wanted to come back as a wrestler. I said no because of all the reasons I just mentioned.
Okay.
And after that, they asked me if I would do commentary. And I was like, okay, sure.
They didn't even ask you to be the manager? Manager?
Wala atang space for that, I think.
Okay.
I didn't think that they had a spot for a manager. I also had another boot camper ask me if they could be a manager. And it just wasn't something they were actively looking for at the time. And I also didn't quite want to do it because I didn't want to be thrust in the spotlight, as mentioned, right? So commentary is fun. I enjoy making the MWF final product sound super professional. And a lot of people have complimented myself and my partner, Sanigo, for making it sound really, really good. And through commentary, I'm able to talk about the knowledge I've gained over the years of both watching, training, performing. So that's really fulfilling to help make the product feel better than it was before. Because before in wrestling, we didn't do video on demand. So there was no commentary. We tried to do commentary, but it just didn't take off for whatever reason.
And it didn't have a platform of some sort.
We didn't have also edited videos. We didn't produce TV shows. So there was no need for commentary, except for PWR Homecoming, which had to be marketed as a video on demand show.
Homecoming, this was the one with DJP?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. Now, the biggest rush, or the biggest itch, rather, for me to come back to wrestling is when I realize I don't have photos and videos of me after shows. Because nobody takes photos of the commentators. They don't take videos of us. Remember, you want to take videos of the action, right?
And you're a trading card.
I'm a trading card because
you don't have a trading card where you're wrestling. You have a trading card where you're Romeo.
Yeah.
So
and that's also, it's nice, but it would also be nice if I had.
I'm not a huge trading card guy, but if you have like trading card as Sandata, I would buy that.
Yun yung pinipetition ko for.
And I would have you sign it. Let's go.
Yun yung pinipetition ko sa the nutcase.
Wait. Speaking of the nutcase, would that be possible if you sent them like a picture of of Sandata maybe in PWR?
There are so many pictures of me online through Hub's page. They would just have to ask Hub.
What's stopping
Fight Sport Manila has pictures of me as Sandata.
But what's stopping
them?
Nutcase?
I don't know, man. Maybe they haven't made a
nutcase.
Nutcase. Maybe they just haven't made an old school series, diba?
Oh, they should do it.
Yeah, they should do that.
The vets, you're finally a vet, right?
Mm. Oh. I guess.
No, you are. Come on, you are.
So yeah, like, and then not many people come up to me after the show and take photos, and you know, because they don't know me. I think there's also kind of a new generation of fans, and
that
then
don't know you.
Yeah, the older generation of fans, so local wrestling. They're not coming to MWF shows yet, I think. They need that draw to come. And that's kind of bothering me.
No.
I got so used to people taking photos with me after the show.
I totally understand like where you're coming from.
It's super superficial. But because it's superficial, I realize that that's not a good enough reason to come back to wrestling, you know.
I don't know. Are you serious?
Yeah.
You're talking to me about it? Come on. It's not. I mean, maybe push aside like the bias of me wanting you to come back. But hey, I mean, those are things that you put in your core memories and you want that. You know, you want to fulfill that without.
It's not a good enough reason to say, like, you want to be there for the art of wrestling, to love wrestling. Like,
Not because of just that.
Not because I wanted to be given attention. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
So I did a lot of thinking about this, you know, and the dopamine rush of getting that attention, that adulation, that really nice feeling of being liked and loved as a performer, as some sort of minor celebrity. That's what's enticing to me, and I still don't think that, and I don't really want to do the hard work yet of being a pro wrestler, an actual honest to goodness pro wrestler. So I just don't think it's a good enough reason. And because there are others, especially the young guns, who want it more right now, I feel like they deserve to have the spotlight talaga, and to perfect their craft. Like, I don't want to be in this to satisfy my ego.
Yeah. You know? But here's the thing, though. Oh. Like, it, especially within the MWF roster, has someone in the MWF roster from the younger generation went up to you and told you, "Hey, I want to wrestle you"? Has someone told you that?
Nope.
You don't have to say names.
Nope.
No one yet?
No, my God. It was just the people who knew me from before.
Yeah, like let's say Fabs or Robin. Maybe?
Yeah, I think Robin Sane.
Robin Sane.
I was about to say his shoot name.
Robin Sane, boo.
He still wants a match with me because we never got to work together. You know, and we were working a similar style. Even it's just that he did it better.
I think now it's a better like styles makes fights. If you guys ever,
and he's still one of the best ones to ever do it in MWF.
Yeah.
So, Fabio, I think wanted to work with me too, or they wanted to put me in a program with Fabio. It's really just the old heads who knew or were familiar with my work from before.
Shame.
Who have asked me
shame
to come back. Not necessarily to wrestle them, but just to see me back.
Yeah, of course.
I don't know if the kids have ever seen my work.
You ever like thought about like, doing a retirement tour?
I'm not retiring.
No.
That segues to the next question.
Yeah, will you come back? Like just, you know, maybe just to cross over the finish line, you know, with you.
I can't say never. I cannot say with finality that I would never come back, even though I like being a commentator and being sometimes a coach to help, to help the guys and the kids some more with, you know, some
stuff.
Do you
coach in MWF?
No, not in MWF, but I give advice when they ask me for it.
Okay.
Because I get to watch everything, right? So I get to observe and see how people work, how they react, and then yung mga little things, a game nila, because I've been training a lot. I've trained in other places other than the Philippines. So yeah, speaking of training, it's also a matter of when I want to start training seriously again, and if I want to devote, if I want to sacrifice my time.
Yeah.
And I do not want to sacrifice my time yet.
Not this moment.
And yeah, like I said before, I wanted to rest. I want to rest a lot. And they also do weekday trainings now, but syempre I can't do that too because I have so much going on weekdays. It's hard to get to 6 p.m. on a Wednesday from BGC to QC. That's a tough ask, diba?
My God, travel. Just thinking about it just makes my back hurt,
diba? You're never gonna get there in time. But, you know, who knows, right? Even though he respected my choice to stay at the commentary table, at the commentation station, the story would stand right now, and rebooting MSG, it's pretty enticing, I gotta say.
I hate it. Like, when I saw it, I was like,
why do you hate it?
No. I meant, I hate it in a way that I love it, because, come on, man, like, you don't always get a chance to see a crossover. You know what I mean? Like, when Avengers started doing it, like, all the movie characters coming together, you know, it was great. This time, when I was watching PWR and MWF at the same time, I was thinking, hey, I wanted to do Sandata versus this guy. Now you're kind of getting it. You know what I mean? Like, this is PWR and MWF, like, just clashing in one place. That's why when Stan got that
ang pao,
man. I hate it that I love it so much. Oh, my God. So you want to take that up sometime?
I will say it's enticing because it's people that I'm comfortable with.
Of course. Yes, with. Yes, yes.
I mean, Max Schemper, definitely comfortable
of
with.
Of course, you have one.
The more of them there are, especially in a JDL.
JDL.
The more fun it sounds, it seems.
You lost Ken, though.
Yeah, we did lose Ken. You know, idea na yan, actually, the kind of a super group. It was something we were floating before the pandemic. So hashtag PWOGs plus MSG. We wanted to do that because we were like super OGs, you know, from the early days.
Now so, I'm the fantasy booker in me is just starting to continue. Why do you even mention this to me?
I know when Stan came out to reboot the
MSG.
Group, people were already people were already tagging some people were already tagging me. Tapos
time to come back.
Yeah. And we'll never know, man. We'll let it play out.
Yeah.
Let the story play out.
And you know what? Before we end this, you know, until you probably make your inevitable debut or maybe not.
Oh.
I won't stop giving you that 1,000 pesos. I won't stop.
Give me the 1,000 pesos because I need that 1,000 pesos.
And fans, Filipino wrestling fans, please, after shows,
take a small photo thing, with me.
Take a photo. No, it's not something like, I'm enticing fans to do it, to feed your ego because of this podcast. No. That's the thing. Going to a wrestling show is an experience. It's a different experience than just watching it from TV or from wherever the hell you're watching. So this is a place to like get the full experience, get to talk to people, get to hang out with people, get to take pictures with people and create that memory of I was there.
Complete
the experience.
They do that with the wrestlers who actually compete.
But hey, think about it, man. Like, not a lot of people have pictures with Jim Ross. You know what I mean? Like, there are people who don't have that experience of, even if they're across the room with the person, they didn't even bother. So what if that guy's gone? You never get to have that chance again. So I think that's me enticing the Filipino wrestling fans to just complete the experience, you know? And it's not just a video ego, you know? So that's about it. But, you know. I hope Filipino wrestling fans get to do that, at least share that moment with you.
The thing I say is that a lot of the fans don't subscribe to Gank. not their fault. Not your fault, man. It's just that they don't get to hear me and hear what we do. MWF is posting a lot more videos on their social media. So that is like an entryway to what we do on commentary, but I don't think they appreciate it yet as much.
Because they don't hear it.
Because they focus more on the in-ring action. I don't know how much the commentary, enhances the feel for them. Some people have said nice things about it, but they're mostly my friends. I don't know. I don't check the comments because the comments are a cesspool, right? So I don't know if people are really... have anything to say about the commentary. So they mostly have things to say about the action. So there is that. So I don't know. We'll see.
Play it out.
I'll promote my commentary work some more. That's the only thing I can do right now.
But until now, we have to wait.
Yeah. And that brings us to the end of this first episode, the pilot episode of Unmasked, The Chronicles of Romoran and Sandata. You can find me at shang.daddy on Instagram. That is where I post all my wrestling stuff, all my wrestling content. If you want to get my takes on the Twitter, on wrestling as a whole, as part of the podcast, because I watch, my job right now is to be an analyst, right? That's at roiswar. That's it. I don't have a page anymore. I don't have a Facebook page anymore. I blew it up. During the pandemic, because I didn't want to be Sandata anymore. I didn't want to change it to. I didn't know if I was going to come back to wrestling. All right, ABL, where can they find you?
Oh, everything on social media. That's Twitter and Instagram at Abel Anselmo. Usually it's basketball content.
Yes.
But I still have all my wrestling takes on Twitter. So yes, that's at Abel Anselmo. And we clash sometimes, but you know, it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
All right. Thank you to the Babyface producers and staff members, the managers of Podcast Network Asia for,
you know,
letting me do this stuff. It's been really nice. It is therapy as well for me.
Oh,
and
I'm your therapist.
Yes,
and this is a safe space.
Yes, this is a safe space, especially for other athletes and wrestlers who may be feeling the same things I'm feeling. So this is a space for us. You know, it's not just my story. It will also be about the stories of the people I've worked with, from my perspective. But
yeah.
So yeah. Until then, until the next episode, we'll talk about the beginning of my wrestling journey in episode 2. So until then, stay safe, guys. Continue to support the local wrestling scene, whichever it is. A lot of people are making their dreams here, living their dreams, myself included. So yeah, just be nice. Be good. Do well. Peace.
We're out of time.